Hey, boys and girls. Welcome to the best podcast in the history of mankind. It's Monty's Rockcast. And now, here's your host, Monty Colvin.
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome to the Rockcast. I am your host, Monty Colvin.
You already know that, dumbass.
So glad you could join me for my year-end special. And this is always my favorite episode of every year. I'm going to tell you what was good and bad about 2016, and I'm going to count down my 10 favorite songs of the year.
Oh!
But before I get into that, I wanted to tell you what I've been up to lately.
Well, I don't want that.
I hope everyone had a good Christmas. Mine was pretty good, but it's probably not what you think. I'm sure everyone out there probably assumes that, hey, Monty, you're a huge rock star. For Christmas, I'm sure you had elaborate parties at your mansion, and you probably got a new sports car as a present, and possibly took the whole family to Hawaii for the holidays.
No one thinks that.
Yeah, well, in actuality, none of that happened. Lindsay's dad came to see us for a couple of days, and I got to see Zoe for a little bit. But mostly Christmas this year was all about what it is every year, which is spoiling the kids completely rotten. I mean, they've already got laptops and gaming systems and DSs and phones.
Yeah, so what?
So it's Christmas, so you gotta get them more games, new TVs, and update their phones. But hey, everyone was happy, and it gave me much joy and satisfaction to look around the room on Christmas afternoon and see everybody just staring at their phones.
Imagine that!
But that's the way the world operates these days, and I've just got to learn to accept it. No one wants to talk or knows how to communicate, so we just pick an electronic device of our choice and zone the hell out. And since I'm still all old school, I just watch TV. And so for about 3 or 4 days, all I did was watch sports and game shows and movies and shows about music.
Sounds great.
And I ended up watching the Game Show Channel, which had a Family Feud marathon. And most of them that I saw was the modern day version of Family Feud, which is hosted by Steve Harvey. And if you haven't seen the Family Feud lately, I've got to warn the parents out there. The new Family Feud is nothing like the old Family Feud where it was family-oriented. These days, the number one answer to pretty much every question has something to do with male genitalia.
Ah!
In fact, most of the time, the contestants don't even bother to wait until the whole question is asked. They just go ahead and hit their buzzer and scream out, "Penis!" And 99% of the time, they are correct. We also watched a couple episodes of The Chase, which is a trivia game show. But after seeing it and trying to answer some of the questions, I realized that, outside of sports and music, I really don't know much of anything.
That's right!
So I decided to stick to things that were much more up my alley, like a Motorhead concert on Axis TV. And it's Motorhead, so of course it's great, but it was kind of sad because I think it was recorded sometime in the last couple years. And Lemmy just did not look real well. And I'm guessing he didn't have much longer at that point, but he was still up there rocking, and it was pretty awesome. So if you get a chance to see Motorhead clean your clock, I suggest you do it.
No thanks.
Another concert I saw on TV was Garth Brooks live at Yankee Stadium. And you're probably wondering why I watched this, and the reason is I had to. Even though I've never been a fan of Garth Brooks or country music, I just had to watch it to see what the deal was. I mean, here's the type of guy you would see walking around at your local Walmart, but instead he's up on one of the biggest stages I've ever seen in my life playing for about 50,000 people.
That's crazy!
And I'm just shaking my head going, how does this happen? But there he was, and people were just going crazy. But it's the same kind of feeling you have when you see a total nerd who is married to a supermodel. You're just like, how did he get with her? I don't understand, but whatever.
Yep.
But apparently Garth Brooks writes songs that a lot of people relate to, so good for him.
Okay.
I also watched a documentary about guitar virtuoso Jason Becker called Not Dead Yet. And if you don't know who he is, back in the 80s, he was in a band with Marty Friedman from Megadeth. And then he replaced Steve Vai as the guitar player for David Lee Roth. But unfortunately, right after he got the gig with Roth and he was about to become a household name, he got Lou Gehrig's disease. And gradually, he couldn't walk or talk or play guitar, and he was just in a wheelchair. And they didn't give him long to live at all, but amazingly, the guy is still alive today. And he's found a way to make music, and it's quite inspiring. So definitely check out the Jason Becker documentary. There's some footage of him playing guitar when he was like 12, 13 years old that will just blow your mind. He was a total prodigy, but at the same time, he was one of these guys that just worked his ass off to get really great. And there's just not enough people like that in the world today. And if you've never heard his music before, well, here's a little taste. This is off of a solo album he did back in the 80s. All right, time now for my annual Rock Casty Awards.
Oh, wow!
Each year I give out the most coveted award in podcasting, and I call it the Rock Casty. It goes to the best and worst in music, entertainment, sports, and even my personal life. And with that in mind, how about we get it started with the Rock Casty for Best Personal Experience? And for me, that would be getting signed to a record deal at age 57.
How can that happen?
Yeah, I kind of thought my musical career was over years ago, but as it turns out, nope. My band Galactic Cowboys got signed by a record label, and we're presently recording a new album. And so you're never too old, and it's never too late to have a dream come true. So that was really cool, but I gotta be honest, a lot of this year really kinda sucked. I had some personal family issues that were really hard to deal with, and I won't even get into that. I had kidney stones, and I was going to doctors and in and out of hospitals, and it was incredibly painful.
Oh!
A few weeks ago, we had an ice storm here in Kansas City. I went sliding down the road in my Hellmobile and ran into my mailbox.
Oh!
I went to a Royals game on Bobblehead Day, and when I got in there, found out they didn't have any more bobbleheads, and I didn't get one.
Very, very sad for everybody.
But by far the worst experience I had all year and the recipient of the Rock Casty was finding out that my wife had just bought another cat.
Oh my God!
You know, I've told you how Mr. Kitty shreds the carpet and he's basically just an a-hole. And I swore to God that I would never let her talk me into getting another one. But the boy started crying and begging, and apparently in a moment of weakness, I somehow agreed. And the next thing you know, we had kitty number two. And so I thought, oh, well, at least this new one will surely be cooler than Mr. Kitty. But no, all she does is hide under the bed, and she won't have anything to do with any of us. In fact, she's such a little jerk that she actually makes Mr. Kitty seem kind of acceptable. But by no means should you get the idea that I've suddenly become a cat person. because right about the time I thought me and Mr. K might actually become friends, he went in our bedroom on Christmas night and puked all over the carpet.
How precious is that?
Yeah. So anyway, I talked earlier about stuff I'd been watching on TV, but now the Rock casty for the best TV show this year. And I didn't think it was a very good year for TV, but the nominees for the good stuff were Duck Dynasty.
Huh?
And yeah, I know the whole show is probably scripted and there's nothing real about it, but it is funny.
Yep.
Another one was Better Call Saul, which is a spinoff of Breaking Bad. And another show I've been watching here lately is hosted by Leah Remini. And it's about the religion of Scientology, and man, is that eye-opening. It's basically just a cult that once you get in it, you can't get out. And if you are able to leave and escape it, you have to give up your family pretty much forever. They disown you.
Is that so wrong?
So that stuff is extremely messed up. But the Rock casty for Best TV in 2016 goes to The Walking Dead. Now, I'm not a horror fan, and I never really thought I would like something like this. And I'm not nearly as obsessed with it as my family is, but it is well done and keeps me interested, and I watched the first 6 seasons in about 2 months. But it's one of the first series I can ever remember that main characters would just get killed off, and you're like, no way, did that just happen?
I've seen some of that. It makes me nervous.
Okay, how about next we do the award for Best Concert? Lindsay and I went to so many good shows this year, including Ice Nine Kills at the Warped Tour. We saw We Came as Romans. We saw Tool. We saw Helmet a couple of weeks ago in a club. And I also got to see The Who, one of my all-time favorites, for the first time. And they were great. And Lindsay and I also got to see Ghost, and they were incredible. And in any other year, they would have been hands down the concert of the year, but not this year. Because this summer, we drove all the way to Chicago to a festival where headlining was Rammstein.
Brutal!
And not only was it the best concert of the year, but it was the best concert I've ever seen. Period. There was fireworks and explosions and pyro. But best of all, they just kicked all kinds of ass. I'll get back to more rock casties later, but right now I want to start counting down my favorite songs of the year.
No! God, please, no! No!
And there was all kinds of new stuff out this year. We had the new Metallica, Avenged Sevenfold, new Megadeth. But as you might expect, I wasn't real crazy about any of it. And I started thinking, you know, am I even going to be able to come up with 10 songs that I actually liked? But when I went through my iTunes and picked a bunch of songs out, I ended up with too many. In fact, I had a hard time cutting it down, and so I'm just going to start off with an honorable mention. It was off the new Seosin album, and it's called Control and the Urge to Pray. I wasn't blown away by the whole album by Seosin, but that song was great. And they are definitely one of my favorite bands of all time.
What the heck are you thinking?
And another one of my favorite bands of all time, Killswitch Engage, comes in with a new album this year. And here's my favorite song off of it. At number 10 on my list, it's Strength of Mind. Well, you knew there had to be at least one Killswitch song on my list, and there it was. They're just so heavy and yet melodic, and when they start doing vocal harmonies, I have an eargasm once in a while.
It's all so good! I can't stand how great it is!
Number 9 on my list is Paranoia by A Day to Remember. They're a band that takes hardcore and punk, puts them in a blender, and mixes you up a nice hard rock smoothie. Number 7 is from a band that I just discovered this year, and I love them. They're called Famous Last Words, and this song is called The Judged. The name of this album was called Incubus, but no, it's not the band Incubus, it's the band Famous Last Words. I know it's not for everyone because, yes, there's a certain amount of screaming, but a lot of the melodies are just great, and when they start doing the vocal harmonies, once again, it's eargasm time. I'll count down more of my favorite songs later, but right now, back to the rock casties.
Do we have to do this?
I told you earlier what I thought were the best TV shows, but what about the worst? And holy crap, there was so much to pick from. TV has gotten so horrible, and I think it's mostly the writing. I think people have run out of ideas. I don't think that writers know how to be funny anymore. And you just end up with a lot of terrible shows that are lame. For instance, Saturday Night Live used to be a show that I loved. It had great comedians, and they always made fun of the president and the candidates. It didn't matter who they were. But SNL just spent the past year trying to attack Donald Trump and get Hillary Clinton elected, but unfortunately for them, it didn't work. I mean, I'm all for hateful sketch comedy once in a while, but when everything is based on a political agenda, it usually ends up kind of not funny and lame. And you can say what you want about Alec Baldwin's impersonation of Trump, but for me, I still prefer sweaty balls. Now that was hilarious.
How many people even get that reference?
Another show that I was kind of disappointed in this year was this past season of Survivor. It was millennials versus Gen Xers, in other words, young people in their 20s against old guys like me.
Yeah!
And while the Gen Xers were building shelters and making fire, the millennials were like, I'm going to just hang out and take a nap. And so I watched every episode, and it was kind of interesting until the very end. You had one of the older guys who had lasted 40 days and won all kinds of competitions, but he went up against a young guy whose mom had cancer. And the kid played the sympathy card, started crying, and ended up getting every single vote, and he won the $1 million. And yes, I felt sorry for him too. I mean, he was losing his mom and everything. But at the same time, you know, if your mom has cancer, shouldn't you just stay home and be with her instead of going on Survivor?
It's very compassionate of you.
But the winner for this year's Rock Casty for Worst TV Show, Two Broke Girls.
It's awful.
Now, I've seen commercials for this show for some time, and they usually try and take the funniest moments to try and entice you to watch it, but I never had, because I didn't think anything on the commercials were funny. But the other day, I thought, well, I'll give it a chance, and so I sat down for about 5 minutes. And now I have to say that that show is without a doubt one of the biggest hunks of crap I have ever seen. And the thing that amazed me the most was that they had a constant laugh track going for the least funny show ever. I mean, have you seen it? It literally did not matter what they said. One chick would go, nah, yeah, 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 yeah. And the other one would go, ah, yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, and it was just a laugh riot. Now, if Two Broke Girls is one of your favorite shows for some reason, I sincerely apologize. I'm sure there's just some subtle nuances that I just don't get.
I like laughing at stupid things.
Switching now to the category of most annoying trends.
What does that mean?
We live in a very trendy society today, and most people are followers. There's not a lot of innovators or trendsetters. Most people just jump on the bandwagon. And in my opinion, most of these people are annoying as hell. And one of the biggest trends this year was protesting. If you didn't like the way something was going, or it didn't turn out your way, or if you just didn't agree with something, you went and got yourself a sign and hit the streets. For instance, a lot of people didn't like the way the election went, and they wanted to abolish the Electoral College, even though they were fine with it when Obama won. And they just went crazy and started rioting and crying.
They're jackasses.
You also had professional athletes refusing to stand for the national anthem because there was too much racism in this country, which I found kind of funny because outside of maybe soccer and hockey, most of our professional sports leagues are dominated by black athletes.
Isn't it ironic?
Another annoying trend was celebrities calling Donald Trump Hitler and threatening to leave the country if he won the election.
It would be nice to see that.
Yeah, well, I personally thought it was a great idea to have Amy Schumer leave the country. But since I still see her fat ass on TV almost every day, it appears she's not going anywhere. But personally, I don't think anyone has to worry about Trump being Hitler. I'm pretty sure he's not going to send the gays, blacks, and Latinos to gas chambers. I mean, you may have lower taxes, but I think that's about as bad as it's going to get.
Oh!
That's good. Now, all those things were really annoying, but for me, the worst trend and winner of the Rock Casty was professional basketball players taking nights off to rest.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're not into sports, you may not have heard of this, but there's this thing now in the National Basketball Association where a player will be completely healthy, but he'll just choose not to play. Even though they're making millions of dollars and they only play two or three times a week, you'll buy a ticket and pay hundreds of dollars to go see them, and they'll just be sitting over there on the bench in street clothes. And it's a real ripoff to the fans, because instead of seeing some superstar, you get some scrub off the bench. For instance, instead of getting LeBron James, you get Mike Dunleavy, who averages about 4 points a game.
What's going on with that?
But for those listeners of mine who don't really follow sports, let me explain it this way. You buy a concert ticket to see Black Sabbath, but instead of getting Ozzy, you get Jolynn Turner.
Yeah.
Or you go to see Aerosmith, and instead of Steven Tyler, you get Blaze Bailey.
I was disappointed.
I guess I could continue with other examples, but I really don't want to pull out a John Corabi reference.
No one wants that.
Now, while I'm on the topic of sports, how about worst sports moment? And for me, there was a lot to choose from, because teams like the Cleveland Cavaliers won the championship.
Ah!
If you listen to the show, you know I can't stand LeBron James, and I hate to see him win. But I also did not enjoy watching the Chicago Cubs win the World Series. But the worst moment for me was after the season was over, watching the Kansas City Royals trade my favorite player, Wade Davis, to the Chicago Cubs.
Sounds like you're a sore loser.
So that all sucked, but how about my favorite sports moment? And for that, the best thing that happened all year was seeing Jose Bautista of the Toronto Blue Jays get punched in the face.
Oh, I heard about that!
Yeah, I was in this game against the Texas Rangers, and this guy just knocked Bautista to the ground. And I know some people found that uncalled for, unsportsmanlike, and even disturbing, but I personally think sports needs more violence. Everyone's gotten so safe and PC, and you got to worry about offending somebody and no bullying. And now sports has gotten that way. They can't fight, they can't taunt, and they just want all the players to be nice. But once in a while, you get a player like Bautista, who's kind of a dick and everyone hates him, and occasionally he's going to get throat punched. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's why we like hockey. And it's why I liked sports when I was growing up. The players hated each other. And anyone who messed with them was going to get a beat down. And that includes fans.
What?
Yeah, when I was a kid, I remember watching this playoff game on TV. It was between the Baltimore Colts and somebody else. And it was outside, and it was cold. And instead of artificial turf, they were playing on frozen dirt. And the game was really close in the fourth quarter, and both teams were huddled up, when all of a sudden this drunken fan comes out of the stands, runs onto the field, and picks up the ball and starts running with it. But instead of having security chase him down or turning the cameras off so we don't see this crazy behavior, a big linebacker for the Colts named Mike Curtis just walks over, picks the guy up, and slams him to the ground. And I remember thinking, oh my God, that's so badass. And no, I don't remember who won the game, but I remember that. Because that was awesome.
It was a joy to watch.
Anyway, all that to say, Jose Bautista gets a Rock Casty, and now it's time for me to return to my top 10 countdown of my favorite songs. And at number 7, it's Volbeat with Seal the Deal.
Yeah.
like Volbeat a lot. I didn't think this new album this year was incredible, but I love that song. And that would bring me to song number 6, which is Good Charlotte with War. I think a lot of people write them off as just kind of a punk pop band, but they write really good songs and have great harmonies. At number 5, it's my favorite ballad of the year. It's called Into the Blue by Fire from the Gods. Number 4 is a Canadian pop-punk band called Billy Talent. They've never really caught on big time in the U.S., perhaps because people are confused by their name.
I never heard of the bastard before.
But make no mistake, there's no one in the band named Billy Talent. It's just the name of the band.
I love him!
Regardless, they put out a really good CD this year, and my favorite song off that album was Afraid of Heights. Okay, a couple more rock casties to hand out. And let's see, how about the award for Best Movie of the Year?
Extremely exciting.
Every year in Hollywood, that's such a big deal. You know, you got the Oscars and Golden Globes, and it's a very prestigious thing. But here on the Rockcast, I just don't care. In fact, I didn't go to the theater all year long to see any movie. I watch the trailers sometimes, but nothing looks like anything I would want to see. I'm not into action movies or sci-fi. I know a lot of you guys like Star Wars and stuff like that. I just never cared. I'm also not that into period pieces, and I see a bunch of movies coming out now about how white people were horrible to black people back in the day with slavery and all that stuff. I get it. I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do about it, and I don't want to see a movie about it.
You're a racist.
What I would like to see is a good comedy, but unless Will Ferrell makes a movie, I guess I'm just sitting home watching Netflix. And what I usually watch on there is either stand-up comedians or documentaries. So there's really not a winner for best new movie, But the other day, I did rewatch Tommy by The Who for about the 20th time. And even though it's very weird and cheesy, I still enjoy it. It takes me back to my youth. And so, your best movie of the year, Tommy.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Okay, here's an interesting category. It's most upsetting celebrity death. And God, there were so many this year, it just seemed like everybody died. You had David Bowie, Muhammad Ali, George Michael, and Princess Leia. But I think the one that was the saddest for me was seeing that Prince had died. I didn't own all of his albums or anything like that. I wasn't a super fan. But I did think he was a great musician. I saw one of his shows years ago, and it was great. And I just really hated to hear that he was gone. But since this is the Rockcast, I have to give out a Rockcasty for least upsetting celebrity death. And I'm sorry, I hate to say this, but the award goes to Alan Thicke.
Who?
When he passed away, I wasn't shocked. And I just kind of went, oh, that's a shame. But then I saw all kinds of people on Facebook posting about it. And I even heard people going, oh my God, Alan Thicke died. And I thought, okay, I didn't realize he was some kind of icon. I mean, the last thing I remember him doing was Celebrity Wife Swap. And you don't do that show unless your career is in the toilet. So, you know, I was sorry to see that Alan Thicke passed away, but I did not freak out.
You are mean!
Speaking of Alan Thicke, he used to do a lot of commercials. And that made me think, you know, maybe I should have an award for best commercial. But then I realized, no, I don't really watch commercials anymore because I usually tape stuff and fast forward through them. And the ones that I do actually see don't really stand out that much. But then it happened. The other day, I saw a commercial that rose above everything I'd ever seen. It was for a product called Eliquist. And if you've never seen it, well, I wish I could play it for you here on the Rockcast, but because of copyright restrictions, I cannot.
Oh!
Yeah, I know, I'm sorry. But I have good news. In order to give you an idea as to kind of what the commercial was about, Lindsay and I did our own version of it, and I'm going to play it for you now.
Over the course of my life, I've taken a lot of medication, and some of it has even been legal. Recently, my doctor told me about Eliquist. He said it might stop my major bleeding. I haven't always bled uncontrollably, but ever since taking Eliquist, I've continued to bleed out of every orifice.
Eliquist may increase your risk of bleeding.
I'm not real sure why I'm bleeding so much, or what's wrong with me for that matter.
If you have a problem with major bleeding, consult a physician. But don't stop taking Eliquist unless your doctor tells you to, even if you're about to bleed out.
I'm still able to live an almost normal life. I just can't ever wear white. And every morning when I wake up, my bed looks like a murder scene.
When taking Eliquist, you may bruise easily or experience more bleeding than usual. And it may take longer for bleeding to stop. In some cases, Eliquist can cause fatal bleeding. Side effects may include nausea, vomiting, confusion, insecurity, tension, and anger from continual bleeding.
I know I still bleed with Eliquist, and that's good enough for me.
It's a comedy skit!
So that was the best commercial, but how about the worst song of the year?
Let's hear it!
You know, it's weird because there's usually so much to pick from. On any given year, you'll have something horrible like What Does the Fox Say? Or The Macarena? Or Gangnam Style? Or Justin Bieber puts out a new album?
Ugh.
But I did not listen to the radio all year. None. So I didn't really hear much in the way of popular music. And as far as I'm aware, Bret Michaels did not do a country album.
Ugh.
So unfortunately, my choices were kind of limited. So I had to go with a song that I played on the last Rockcast. It's a cover of an old Christmas classic called Baby It's Cold Outside, and somebody decided that the original version was somehow promoting date rape, and so these two politically correct imbeciles got together and redid it with new lyrics. And honestly, it was the worst and possibly funniest thing I've heard all year.
don't know what you're talking about.
I have to say no, no, no.
You reserve the right to say no.
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
You reserve the right to say no.
I really can't stay.
Well, you don't have to.
Ah, but it's cold outside.
Oh, yeah. Not only are they just horrible singers, every time he says, you reserve the right to say no, I just laugh my ass off.
It's so bad, it's good.
I mean, I get if you're a person who somehow doesn't understand that you shouldn't put a roofie in your date's drink. You know, maybe in that case, this song might serve some kind of purpose. Otherwise, I can kind of do without the lecture, especially around Christmas. Or is date rape just extremely rampant during the holidays?
I think it is.
Another thing, is it just me or does he seem like he kind of wants her to leave? Because every time she says, I really can't stay, he says, that's perfectly fine. It's almost like he's had enough of her and he's like, no, you go ahead and go. You take your ukulele and get the hell out of here.
Now get lost.
All right, well, let's get back to some songs that I think were really good in 2016. And at number 3 on my list, it's Excuse Me from, once again, Fire From The Gods.
Look what I found, come get down. It's that revolution sound. Call up the second emancipation. Break these chains and let me out. It's not violence, I'm on a bump. A riot will still hit the ground. Put down the whip, take a step back, hear me out. I am fanatic, employ guerrilla tactics. Open up this lyrical automatic. I put holes in your rhetoric, it's archaic. Kind of chaotic, almost barbaric. But yet you stand and you swear by it. And I've been readily, steadily waiting for a chance to resist. The devil is a liar, top of the empire. Blood, sweat, tears, and desire. I put my heart into this. Never forget I'm a soldier, I will not be conquered.
And I can't forget the past. My soul is under pressure.
The end is killing me.
It's destroying me within. My need for emancipation. My soul is under pressure.
The end is killing me.
Fire From The Gods reminds me a little bit of Seven Dust or Old Faith No More. But they write really great songs, and I loved that tune.
It's a pile of garbage.
Number 2 on my list of favorite songs of 2016 is from a guy that used to be in Hollywood Undead. He mixes rap and rock and metal, and he's just one of my favorite musicians, and his name is Deuce. This is from his album Invincible. It's called Catch Me If You Can.
Catch me!
So that's Deuce, and I personally think he's great, but his lyrics are extremely vulgar. And I would warn you about that, but I don't think there's any danger of anyone who listens to my show actually going out and buying that.
That's correct.
But that would bring us to my number 1 favorite song of 2016. But before I tell you what that is, I thought I'd give you some of my New Year's resolutions. And the first one is that this year I plan to live healthier.
Oh, good.
However, I also plan to eat more desserts.
Huh?
You see, I know a lot of people that around this time of year, they say, I'm going to get back to the gym, I'm going to exercise. But when I think back to the past year, I realize that there was a lot of nights when I'd get done with dinner and I'd just go to bed. And there were times when I'd just forget to have some ice cream or cake or maybe even a peanut butter cup. So this year, I'm going to do some catching up.
Good thinking.
My second resolution is I want to treat all people with respect, regardless of how stupid and wrong your political views are. Because after all, if you want to be an ignorant dumbass, it's your right to do so.
That's true.
Also this year, I want to help make the greatest album in the history of music. And I know it seems like I've set the bar high, but I like to set goals for myself that are completely unattainable.
You really should.
And that's exactly what I plan to do when I go back to Houston this month to work on the new Galactic Cowboys CD.
You're a hero, and we salute you, sir.
And finally, speaking of lofty goals, this year I'd like to lose 40 pounds and become the spokesman for Subway sandwiches.
There's no way that happens.
I hope some of those things will help inspire you to have a great new year. But right now, it's time to end the show with my favorite song of the year. Once again, it's from a band from Austin, Texas called Fire from the Gods. And their CD Narrative is also my album of the year. The whole thing was great and it rocked like a mofo. And my favorite tune on there was called Public Enemy. I hope you enjoy it, and I hope you enjoyed the whole show.
Isn't it getting crappier?
If you want to get a hold of me, you can do so on Facebook or at my website, MontyColvin.net, where you can also find my CDs, t-shirts, and paintings. I'll be back soon with more fun and excitement and valuable info. But until then, this has been Monty saying take care, don't let anyone tell you what to like, unless it's me. And
rock on.
What are the many of the lost generation? What are the real?
If you're wondering when this is finally going to end, it's here.